بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن. صلوات الله البر الرحيم والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين الميامين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المعجز بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وكذلك حقت كلمة ربك على الذين كفروا أنهم أصحاب النار، الذين يحملون العرش ومن حوله يسبحون بحمد ربهم ويؤمنون به ويستغفرون للذين آمنوا ربنا وسعت كل شيء رحمة وعلما فاغفر للذين تابوا واتبعوا سبيلك وقهم عذاب الجحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في رواية رواه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه رحمه الله، قال: إن العبد ليتكلم بكلمة لا يرى بها بأسا يهوي بها في نار جهنم 70 خريفا أو 70 عاما، أو كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. جماعة المسلمين, respected brothers and elders in Islam, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with the wealth of Iman and affording us the opportunity to be alive and breathing on this blessed day of Jumu'ah. There is not much time on the day of Jumu'ah, however it is important for us at this particular occasion to always take a lesson and see how we can implement it into our lives. It is no use we have a flowery speech from the front and everybody says, MashaAllah, what a good talk it was, or how eloquent the speaker was, and we go home and no change came into our lives. The objective of having gatherings of deen, whether it be the khutbah or the speech before the khutbah of Jumu'ah, or any gathering of deen, is for each and every person to do some introspection and check and see what is it that is lacking in my life, what is it I can do to improve my iman and my level of deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me firstly the tawfiq and the ability to say what is correct, and for all of us to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the teachings of Islam and Sharia in its totality into our lives inshaAllah. Jama'atul Muslimin, what I want to discuss today is something which is of utmost importance. The most valuable gift which Allah has given all of us is the gift of Iman. And we constantly hear it. Every Friday the Imam would be saying it, every talk we attend we hear, we thank Allah for the gift of Iman. Generally in our lives, since we were children, we went to maktab, we went to madrasa, the Imams, the Asatidah, the teachers that were educating us, taught us various aspects of deen. We learnt that every amal of deen, every aspect of deen has got a certain characteristic which constitutes that action, which we call normally prerequisites or shurut, pillars or integrals, arkan of an amal. But like we learn what constitutes an amal, we also have to learn what nullifies and invalidates that amal. So like when we went to madrasa, we learned, okay, this is what you do to make wudu, you have to make your niyyah, you have to, the faraid of wudu. What are the things, whether it be in the Shafi'i madhab, any madhab, the Hanafi madhab, the rules are clearly laid down. What constitutes the amal of wudu? If a person only knows how to make wudu but does not know what invalidates his wudu, many times he might find himself doing an amal thinking that he has wudu, not realizing that his wudu is broken. Similarly with salah, we know your salah starts with your niyyah, takbiratul ihram, it ends with your salam in the end, there are arkan integrals in between, this is what constitutes the salah. But if we do not know what invalidates the salah, then a person will be moving through the postures of salah not realizing that he is not performing salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Your salah is valid if it is in conformity with the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught. So similarly, every amal of deen, for it to be in existence, there is a particular method which constitutes that amal, and we need to also know what invalidates the amal. More important than any amal in deen, even more important than salah, more important than wudu, more important than hajj, more important than fasting, is to know what constitutes our iman and what invalidates our iman. Because a person can make tahajjud for 70 years, and he can make his one sujood from after Isha al Fajr, and making dua with tears of blood rolling down his cheeks. But if his iman is not intact, it is worth nothing. So therefore, Jamaatul Muslimin, my message for myself today and for all of us at this time in the history of mankind, when the greatest attack is on the iman of the mu'mineen, without even realizing we are being attacked. And I will, inshallah, try to mention very briefly what the ulama have explained with regards to the things which affect our iman. And this, in easy terminology, if you want to understand it, if we look through the books of jurisprudence in Islam, in any madhab, whether it be the madhab of Shafi'i, the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, any of the madhahib, they've got the books of fiqh and jurisprudence starting with tahara, then they go through salah, you have sawm, hajj, kitabul buyu', your interaction and dealings with people, then you have qada, judgments which have to be made amongst people in at times of dispute, you have, and there's one whole chapter which is titled Babur Ridda. The chapter of irtidad, when a person becomes murtad. Murtad means now out of the fold of Islam. Now generally in our normal discussions and our normal understanding, we are under the misconception that a murtad is only a person who openly announces and says, I'm no longer a Muslim, I've got nothing to do with Islam. We say, oh, this person became murtad, so we disassociate ourselves from that person, which should be done. But the ulama have mentioned in the chapters of Ridda, in Mughni al-Muhtaj is the famous commentary of the Shafi'i jurisprudence. In Fatawa Hindiya of the Ahnaf, of the Hanafi Madhab, this chapter has been extremely deeply dealt with and explained in great length. The first, there are three categories which every mu'min, every believer has to ensure he does not fall prey to, because it will invalidate or affect his iman. When we say iman, it means a person who has acknowledged and with his tongue and heart he is convinced with the meaning of the shahadatain by saying ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadar rasulullah. And my dear brothers, please don't anybody get it in your minds now that this person now he's coming, he wants to give us a lesson of what we learned when we were small. Please just try to pay attention to what I am saying. May Allah give me firstly tawfiq and all of us a tawfiq to understand the importance of our iman and how important it is to die with iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, a time will come, yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'minan wa yumsi kafira. A man will wake up in the state of iman without realizing he will die in kufr. He will go to bed in a state of iman without realizing he did something before he fell asleep. It invalidated his iman, he wakes up in a condition of kufr. So the first thing which invalidates the iman of any mu'min is having the wrong i'tiqad, the wrong aqidah. Aqidah means our creed, our belief structure which is firmly laid down and explained to us in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And any deficiency in that, and just to elaborate, this is what I'm referring to, is what we learned when we were small. In detail, we learned from our teachers, آمنت بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر. I bring iman in Allah, وملائكته, the angels, وكتبه, the scriptures revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the various anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam, ورسله, I believe in the authenticity of the prophethood bestowed upon those blessed beings, the anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa-salam, واليوم الآخر, I bring iman in the day of qiyamah, والقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى, I express my iman in taqdeer, which is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is to happen, our taqdeer and our fate, whether it be good or bad, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْبَعْثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. So briefly, this is the essence of our iman. If a person has doubt in any one of these, his iman is in tatters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. True mu'mineen are those who bring iman in Allah and the teachings of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's no room for any doubt. So if a person says, I believe in Allah, I don't believe in the malaika, he might call himself a Muslim, he will not be a Muslim. This is what the fuqaha of all four madahib have explained, Jamaatul Muslimin. If a person says, I believe in Allah, I believe in the malaika, I do not accept the prophets, then he is taking himself out of the fold of Islam. So the first thing which has to be secured is a person's aqidah and his creed with regards to his understanding of his belief structure as it is explained by Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any deficiency in that would render a person out of the fold of Islam. If a person thinks, na'udhu billah, he attributes something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which has not been proven in the Quran, or he describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a disrespectful manner, even in the form of joking, which is the next part I would like to explain. The second method of a person's iman getting affected is through speech. So one is al-kufr al-i'tiqadi, one is a person's breaking his iman through his incorrect belief. The second is he destroys his iman by uttering a word which goes contrary to what was established in the Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something which is very commonly found, and unfortunately we trivialize it, Jama'atul Muslimin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith which I quoted in the beginning, narrated by Imam Muslim in his works of hadith, the second most authentic book of hadith in Islam after Sahih al-Bukhari. He says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innal 'abda la yatakallamu bi kalimatin." Sometimes a person utters a word, kalima, a word, la yara biha ba'san, and he does not regard that word to be serious. He regards it to be insignificant. يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. And due to the utterance of that one word, he will be flung into the fire of Jahannam for a distance of 70 years. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once was sitting with the Sahaba, they heard a loud explosion, they heard a sound. And there was nothing evident in Medina which could have indicated that it came from there. He said, "Do you know what that sound was?" They said, "O Nabi of Allah, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 70 years ago, a rock and a boulder was thrown from the outside of Jahannam. It landed at the bottom of Jahannam now. The bottom of Jahannam has not, the ulama have mentioned that the bottom of Jahannam has not been created for believers. Yes, in the hadith it has been established there will be those Muslims who will enter the fire of Jahannam if Allah does not want to pardon them to be purified, and they will be punished and they will go to Jannah. Perpetually a Muslim will not stay in Jahannam. But to reach the bottom of Jahannam, Allah says, "Inna al-munafiqina fi al-darki al-asfali min al-nar." The bottom of Jahannam is exclusively for kuffar and munafiqin. Which means through the utterance of one word, a person may destroy his iman. Jama'atul Muslimin, a man gets married. And how often we hear these cases. He has an argument with his wife. And how sacred is the bond of nikah. And when he runs out of words, he says, talaq. Then afterwards he goes mufti fishing to see where he can fish for the easiest fatwa which suits him. A man gives his wife 3 talaqs, he gives her 10 talaqs. I know a person, he said, "I gave 1,000 talaqs. Doesn't make any difference. It's still 3, which is the maximum amount. If a talaq can take effect and a sacred bond of nikah can be invalidated with the utterance of one word, our iman is more sensitive and delicate than nikah. It is not something to play with. Sometimes people have arguments, Jamaatum. We know in our community, I'm from Bosmont. Those who know me know I'm from this community. Sometimes two people have an argument, the other one say, "Are you Muslim?" They say, "Nekas kras." Ya Allah, Jamaatul Muslimin, innal abda la yatakallamu bi kalimatin. One word he is saying. If a person says, "I am a kafir," he is calling his iman kufr. That takes him out of the fold of Islam. Now when I'm saying this, it is not going to be as effective as it would be what I'm going to tell you after this. When you tell a person, "Brother, that word you have uttered is kufr, it has affected your iman," he says, "Okay, astaghfirullah." And he thinks nothing about it. But if you tell him, what is the effect of uttering words of kufr? I'm not here to entertain you, Jamaatul Muslimin. May Allah give me ikhlas in what I'm saying. If you tell the person the effect of uttering words of kufr, that your nikah is invalidated. If a person utters words which make him murtad, his nikah is broken. In the Shafi'i madhab, the ulama explain, if he makes tawbah and he says the shahada again in the time of the iddah, because if nikah breaks, the wife have to start iddah. If he recites the shahada again in the period of the iddah, his nikah is intact. In the Hanafi madhab, he has to renew the nikah again. Now everybody's eyes are open. So Jama'atul Muslimin, the second thing which affects our iman, and this is not disputed by anyone amongst the jurists of Islam, is uttering words which are detrimental to our iman. And from amongst that is making istighfaf and istihza, which means to belittle something which is a symbol of deen. To run down a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make a mock of something of deen. Somebody is performing salah or somebody is adopted a sunnah appearance. One person, he says, "You know what, I know it is sunnah to have a beard. I don't have a beard, it's my weakness." No problem. May Allah grant all of us hidayah. A beard doesn't necessarily mean a person has entered into Jannah already. But If for me to say, what's wrong with these people? They're so backward. They want to put this long hair on their faces. Look how they look. We are making istighfaf and ridiculing that which was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not only talking about the beard, I'm talking about anything which is a symbol of deen. Anything which is a symbol of deen. The ulama have mentioned uttering words of this nature, even if it be in jest. How many times we find people making jokes in the SMSs or the BlackBerry messages about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or they make jokes about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or they say, no, we use the word God. Respected brothers, the word God is an English word which we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So even if you're not saying Allah, it refers to Allah. The munafiqeen in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ أَوْ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. If you ask them, لَيَقُولُنَّ, they will say, كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبْ. You will ask them, why are you mocking the Muslims? Why are you belittling Islam? And you call yourself Muslims? They say, no, we were merely joking. So when you tell somebody, my brother, this is haram, this is detrimental to your iman, he says, you guys, you sheikhs and imams and maulanas are only serious. You don't take a joke. It's not a matter of joke, Jamaatul Muslimin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reply to that justification in the Quran. Allah says, قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Could you not find anything else to joke but Allah and His Rasul and the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You found nothing else. The only joke you could make was about deen. As it is, jokes is allowed in Islam. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it is said about them in the books of hadith, كانوا يضحكون وإيمانهم في قلوبهم كأمثال الجبال. They would joke. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also joke. But it was not just for entertainment and mere pastime. So the first category, which is detrimental to iman, time is up already, is to have the wrong aqidah, the wrong i'tiqad. Even if a person calls himself a believer, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. This ayah we hear so often, second page of Surah Baqarah. There are people who say, we believe in Allah, we believe in the day of Qiyamah. Allah says they are not believers. So the first is to ensure that our aqidah is according to the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is established by the Qur'an and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a Yahudi or Nasrani comes and he says, I'm a Muslim, that doesn't make him Muslim. By saying you're a Muslim, you have to confirm with your heart and utter with your tongue the words of testimony and shahada, that makes a person enter the fold of Islam. And the second thing which is detrimental, I said, is our speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said with regards to the munafiqeen, لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. This justification that you are merely making a joke, it's only a joke, don't be so serious, that doesn't save you from your falling into blasphemy and kufr and attacking your own iman. The third is a person doing such a deed which is synonymous to kufar. In other words, an action which only a kafir can do. For example, and in this, in all three of them, they exist independently. It doesn't mean a person has to do all three before his iman is affected. They exist independently. So a person, for example, he, without saying anything with his tongue, without thinking anything in his mind, he bows down and prostrates in front of the cross. Or he bows down and prostrates in front of an idol. Without him saying a word, Jama'atul Muslimin, he has invalidated his iman, he has to recite the shahada again. Now, I am mentioning this, and I said from the beginning, this talk is not for entertainment, it is for each and every one of us to learn a lesson. Let us check in our lives. This is why. Why is it that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, he would hold his tongue and then address himself saying, O tongue, it is because of you that people will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. We don't guard our tongues. We do not guard our tongues. So in this dunya also we fall prey to mistakes. Then a man says, no, but somebody phoned me the other day, they say, Sheikh, you know what? I was angry when I said the talaqs to my wife. I told him, brother, who in his sane mind gives his wife talaq when he's in a good mood? In this dunya, nobody says talaq to his wife when he's happy. So what do you mean that you were in a bad mood? That's when you said it. There's no justification for these things. So the third thing which invalidates one's iman is to do something which is synonymous to kuffar. For example, again, taking the Quran, the mushaf, or something upon which Allah's name is and throwing it into the garbage, throwing it into dirt. May Allah protect us. Those are actions which only a kafir can do. So even if a person doesn't say that I am leaving Islam, his iman is invalidated and he needs to recite the shahada. Jamaatul Muslimin, may Allah give us the tawfiq to understand the value of this iman. So now when a person knows what invalidates the amal, he will ensure that he doesn't fall into it. A person knows what's going to break his salah. If he passes wind, for example, then he will ensure that he doesn't do that while he's in his salah. So if a person learns what's going to affect my iman, like I said, unfortunately we think a person who has left Islam is only a one who announces his detachment from Islam. That is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ. There were many such people who, after being in Islam, they uttered words of kufr, which took them out of the fold of Islam. May Allah protect our iman. May Allah give us the consciousness to be aware of what we are saying, what we are thinking. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, شِفَاءُ الْعَيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The cure for ignorance is to ask. It is not correct for us to justify our wrongs when we are told you're doing something wrong. Say, no, that's my opinion. That's also a new sickness we have. That is my opinion, I'll find out from someone else. If we are told that something is wrong and there is justification or a dalil and proof presented to us in the light of Quran and Hadith, then we should be man enough to acknowledge and say, I made a mistake, and inshallah I will rectify it and take the following steps to ensure that I do not fall prey to this mistake again in future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me firstly and all of us, and give us perfect iman. May Allah give us a life with perfect iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us die and leave this world in a state of perfect iman. Let it not be like one very pious alim and scholar. He said, I was making tawaf around the Kaaba, and I will conclude on this. I apologize for taking a little bit of extra time. He said that I was making tawaf and I heard this man saying, by the multazam making dua, oh Allah, let me die with iman. He said, I went around once, the second time, he's making the same dua. For 7 circuits, I heard the man making the same dua, oh Allah, protect my iman, by the multazam. So after he finished the tawaf, he said, I waited for him and I thought I'll ask him, what is the reason that you're only making one dua? So he said, I had a very, very pious brother who used to recite the Quran day and night. He was engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before he passed away, he called the family. And we were all happy that now he's going to say the shahada in front of us and he's going to leave this world. So he said, bring the Quran. When I brought the Quran, we thought now he's going to perhaps recite the Quran and leave this world. He said in front of the entire family that I make all of you a witness that I've got no relationship with this book. And he died in that condition. None of us have got the guarantee, Jamaatul Muslimin. I cannot say I am guaranteed Jannah. I can say I'm guaranteed Jannah the day I die, and I die with iman. We all have to be concerned about our iman, and for this, alhamdulillah, we have to learn, go to the ulama and learn what are the things that affect our iman. Like we learn the other ahkam of deen, let us learn the important aspects which are detrimental or beneficial to our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true knowledge of deen and give us the tawfiq to practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.